This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour 24 at Black Diamond Ranch on April 25th. Brandon Legal Group buys the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. They also provide gifts for every player or multiple prize baskets, as they did at the most recent Todd Wright Tour 23. When you are in need of legal assistance, you can call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult. And you need not ask the question, well, what type of law do they specialize in? They are a full service law firm. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. And you need not work, live, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. My thanks to Brandon Legal Group for all their support of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, as well as Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers is moving into year 61 in the Tampa Bay area. Three locations, 4847 North Armenia, 5555 West Hillsboro, 6816 Gale Boulevard out in Zephyr Hills. I am currently working with the mother of a terrific, soon-to-be 9-year-old boy on a cyber bowling Saturday afternoon birthday party for that boy and roughly a dozen of his friends, and Pin Chasers couldn't be more cooperative. Their cyber bowling parties feature food, decorations, soda, pizza. Bengal Ralph of my golf tournaments, who's also a very loyal bowler, he and his entire family at Pin Chasers always told me how good the pizza was at Pin Chasers. I've taken the gang from the Identity Tampa Bay, where I do my webcast, to Pin Chasers. I've gone there with various other friends, and we've always had a good time. Keep in mind, Pin Chasers has a huge fundraiser coming up involving my golf buddy Drew Garabo from 1025 The Bone. It is Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl with proceeds to the Down Syndrome Association. It's at the Pin Chasers Midtown location on Saturday, February 29th. And for more information on that, you can go to theboneonline.com. For more information on Pin Chasers, their late night specials, all their group outings, birthday parties, etc., go to pinchasers.net, or they're very active on Facebook. You can follow them there. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. 19 years ago, when I was sort of in the middle of my decade-long run at ESPN as the founder, host, co-producer, and creator of All Night with Todd Wright, I was always looking for different things to talk about. They didn't need to be sports. Many give me credit, thank you, for being one of the first on national radio to actively incorporate entertainment, pop culture, daily life elements into a show on what had previously been only a sports network. And it was something that served me well, and many have followed since then in doing forms of this, some well, some not so well. One of the things that came along was the XFL back in 2001, and I remember that I was enthusiastic about working with them simply because it was more content for the show. I felt that they would be interested in having me talk about their new football league on my national radio show, since I had more clearance at the time than any other show on ESPN radio and probably any of the other national networks. I was cleared virtually everywhere with the All Night with Todd Wright show. So the WWE running XFL basically said, well, how'd you like to have a player from one of our teams come on as a regular guest every week? And we'll find you someone who is a good talker, who is dependable, and he's not only a starter, but we think he's on a pretty good team. We said, well, we'll give him a try, and if we like him, we'll do it. So we did sort of a preseason interview with this particular player. It was a linebacker for the Los Angeles Extreme. We liked him, he liked us, and we said, we'll do it. That player couldn't have been more dependable, which is also a key for me when building relationships, building a radio show. You want to know when you build your list of guests every week that someone is actually going to be there. They're not only going to be there when you call, they're actually going to be into doing what you need them to do. And this player was. And we talked to him every week, the entire season, through the $1 million game, which was the name of their championship game. And by then we knew the league was dead. We basically knew by week three the league was dead because television ratings were plummeting, games were going too long. The broadcast and ownership partner in NBC had a lot of backlash for what was going on with the games, and it just simply did not catch on. 19 years later, here we are. First weekend of the XFL done, and I know my colleagues at Spectrum, where I do television for Bay News 9 in Tampa Bay, were stunned when they brought me in last night for a segment to talk about the XFL, and I was only negative about the league. My reasons are valid. My reasons are sound. First of all, my dealings with this version of the XFL go back almost a month and a half now. When I was hosting my Todd Wright Tour 23 golf tournament, and yes, I've hosted 23, well, that was Todd Wright Tour 22. That was my holiday spectacular at West Chase. I have now hosted 23 golf tournaments since October of 2015. And I'm fortunate that some of my better contacts to provide prizes and swag to my players are local sports organizations, in no particular order. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have given me swag and tickets to give away at my golf tournaments. The Tampa Bay Lightning, also via the Identity Tampa Bay, have given me tickets and swag to give away at my golf tournaments. The Lightning Girls used to come out as well when the Lightning Girls were part of the franchise. The New York Yankees and their minor league affiliate, Tampa Tarpons, even for this most recent event, give me tickets and swag to give away to all my players. A foursome from the Yankees led by Jeremy Ventura even played in my holiday tournament and are very active in working with me on various events with what we can do together. And for those of you that say, why don't you do something with the Rays? I say, well, why don't you ask them? They don't seem to show any interest, and I have the Yankees who do, so I clearly work with the Yankees. They make my life easier, just like working with guests on a talk show that actually want to work with you. The Outback Bowl provided me with tickets and swag for that tournament as well. You know who was the one sports entity in Tampa Bay that, despite me talking to them, me showing interest, me having multiple conversations and emails, who gave me nothing, were the Vipers of the XFL. And perhaps it was because the lead person in charge of sales and game experience, what was his prior experience working in sports to get this job? Selling Omaha steaks. No, that's not a joke. That's a fact. So then, after I gave up and showed the Vipers that I had all these other things for my events, and how I was a part of the community because their president did this video on Twitter early on saying it was very important for them to be a part of the community and connect with people, and how they were showing hypocrisy by their attitude towards me and the events that I run. No response at all. None. So once I stopped wasting my time with the guy who was selling Omaha steaks a few months ago, I was then approached about being the radio play-by-play announcer. Now, the people that approached me were not employees of the Vipers. They were essentially the rights holders who had the rights to broadcast the games live. Those people that approached me are very good people. They do not work for the XFL. They work in the local radio business. And just to get this out in front, no, they do not work for iHeartRadio. That's not who I deal with. Originally, I was pitched doing every game and even riding the team plane, starting with the first trip to New York. Then the plan was modified to, well, the league will provide a feed and we'll call the feed off television for the road games and just do the home games, which, for those of you who don't know, is more commonly done in sports television than you think. Not always are the announcers announcing an event you watch sitting in a booth actually at the event that they're broadcasting. Trust me, I've done it a number of times, namely in golf. It is also done in soccer quite a bit. It's done for international feeds of various sports. And I'm surprised more of it isn't done to save money. Then the thought was just do the home games. And at that point, considering the XFL's original idea for this radio partner in Tampa was, we actually are going to give you a broadcast to air. We'll have our own announcers. We'll have our own engineer. We'll provide you the feed, and all you've got to do is press play. And the fact that they didn't do that, then didn't do the other thing, then didn't do the other thing, then backed off doing this thing, sort of left this radio group that are good people with their hands in the air, like, what are we doing here? So I simply said, I had my own reasons. I don't think this is for me. So if you're wondering why there wasn't a radio play-by-play broadcast of the first game at New York, there's your reason. I was asked to do it. In the end, I didn't do it, because of how messy the league made this. And they've made a lot of things very, very messy. So instead, for the first game, I went to their official watch party. It was at the West Chase Irish 31. And they've had a running deal, the Vipers had, with Irish 31. They've done an event in Wesley Chapel. They've done one at another location, maybe St. Pete, and one of my golf buddies, Drew Garabo, was actually part of the watch party for the Tampa Bay-New York game at Irish 31 at West Chase. I stopped by for two reasons. One, Drew is my friend and I support him. The second reason was I wanted to see, for the opening game, how the Vipers throw a watch party. Their swag was beads and a handful of koozies. That's it. My golfers get more swag at my golf tournaments. Now, were there people at that Irish 31? Yeah. Were they watching the game? Yeah. Was it packed? No. It felt forced. It felt cheap. And according to one person who would know, when that person was speaking to Drew and me, their marketing people who were at the watch party horrified by the play of the Vipers on the field, because that's what they have to sell in 2 weeks for the home opener, because not a lot of sales have been happening leading up to this point. I watched roughly 20 to 30 minutes of each of the four games of the opening weekend. The first 30 minutes of the initial ABC broadcast, which, according to Pro Football Talk, by the end of the game had 3.3 million people watching it. Then there was a Fox game that followed that. I watched roughly 30 minutes of that. June Jones is a longtime friend of mine and is the coach and GM of the Houston franchise, which beat Los Angeles. Then I spent roughly a half hour at the Vipers watch party at Irish 31 for that game, and then I was home later and put on the late Fox game, which was at the former home of the Texas Rangers, formerly known as the ballpark in Arlington. They move into the new retractable roof stadium across the street next to Texas Live this season for the Dallas game against St. Louis. So, again, I watched roughly a half hour of all four games. Looked like strike football to me without the NFL uniforms. Yeah, I saw the kickoff. Okay, what else you got? Yeah, I saw the conversions, and most coaches were going for one. Okay, what else you got? There wasn't a single play that I need to go back and see. Not one. There's not a single game result that I feel the need to talk to anyone about who didn't watch to get them to watch. I did notice that the Vipers game against the Guardians in New York, see, I even know the team names. Yes, I've done a little homework here. The fans were moving towards the side that faced the television cameras. Now, they either did this on the urging of the XFL so it didn't look so empty, and this was the opening game in New York, the biggest market, or because it was cold. Either way, I question the attendance number announced at roughly 17,000, which was the announced number roughly everywhere, which also makes you cynical. Virtually all four attendance numbers announced were anywhere from 17 to upwards of close to 19,000. There weren't that many at MetLife Stadium. There weren't. Maybe in D.C., maybe in Houston, maybe in Arlington, Texas. Also, the television broadcast and the announcers felt like infomercials to me. We are excited to be here. We are excited to do this. The adjectives and the words used reminded me of watching these non-revenue sports that get shoved down our throat for various reasons on these sports networks, because they need programming and the announcers know it. They've got to sell us on the broadcast because we probably just stumbled onto it and we're looking for something else to watch. Even the great Steve Levy, who is excellent at everything he does as the lead announcer for ESPN, it sounded like an infomercial to me. Now, the The one thing I will say the league has going for it, unlike the Alliance, and honestly, I heard a number of announcers talking about players saying, and last year he was with the Alliance, or this guy last year was with the Alliance. Good thing for the XFL, the Alliance folded. It seems like they got a lot of players that they wouldn't have if the Alliance was still playing. So the level of play would be even a step down lower if the Alliance hadn't folded. Which leads me to Vince McMahon has real money. Whether you love or hate pro wrestling, love or hate the WWE, love or hate Vince McMahon, I happen to like all three. Vince McMahon has money. The Alliance of American Football, which filed a 1,000-plus bankruptcy when they abruptly halted operations after week six, did not have real money. They were launched on the premise that this, I believe the fraud's name is Fowler, former minority partner of the Minnesota Vikings. He basically sold Bill Polian a bill of goods based on a cryptocurrency scheme. Yeah, that's how Bill Polian started the league. And Bill Polian claims he can't talk more about it because of legal reasons. That's shitty of Bill Polian. He was heavily involved. He knew how shady the financing was and should have never gone through with it. And the fact that he can't talk now, you may respect his knowledge and that he's a Hall of Famer, shows you what many in Indy knew about Bill Polian all along, that he can be a real piece of shit. So unlike the Alliance, where Bill Polian founded the league on a cryptocurrency fraudulent scheme, that's where the money was supposedly coming from, and then it wasn't there. Don't blame the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes and Topgolf. He came in and said, well, I'll help you, but I can pull out at any time, and I don't blame him for doing that. Blame Bill Polian. Vince McMahon has actual money. This isn't cryptocurrency here. This is money. Now, I know there are entities that have done marketing deals with the XFL and the Vipers who have waited to the last minute to get the money they've been promised for these deals and have been told locally, well, we're waiting for the legal department to get to it. It's all very messy, especially when you consider the XFL announced they were going to do this almost 2 years ago. Why were things still haphazardly being done in the days leading up to the first game? And locally in Tampa Bay, there will still be things done haphazardly and last minute leading up to the first home game, where I'm already told attendance will look like a nondescript USF home game against an opponent no one wants to see. I have been teased by spring pro football my entire life. My grandfather and I had season tickets for the Tampa Bay Bandits. They cost us $15 a game. I had a student discount. My grandfather had a senior discount. We had the tickets all three seasons, 83, 84, 85. It was fun. I can still quote you the team names of the USFL and the three cities where the Breakers played all 3 years, Boston, New Orleans, Portland. And there have been other attempts between the USFL and the Alliance that have sold me and you this bill of goods about how much football you and I want and how it can work. And they all fail. And I'm telling you, this one already is. Sure, I think they'll get through the first season just because Vince has real money. And also because there's there's going to be no backlash on Fox or Disney's networks, ABC, ESPN, because they don't have any money in this. It's essentially a revenue share for some programming. That's all. It's not going to drag over into J-Lo being on Saturday Night Live on NBC. Oh, and where were these fast-paced games that you were promised? Both Saturday games went beyond the three-hour television window. And I don't know if the second one did on Sunday because I didn't really feel the need to keep watching. Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk told me there was a Bud Light Seltzer ad on the back left of the Dallas Renegades helmet. Good for them. I didn't see it. I watched 30 minutes of the game, didn't know it was there. So put an E in front of the X and XFL, because that's what it will become. And there will be no XFL 3.0 down the road. As far as spring football is concerned, enough is enough. This one fails just as all have failed in front of them. I'm looking forward to the NFL draft. And free agency in front of the NFL draft. That's something I have an interest in. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chasers. Remember, Pin Chasers will have a huge fundraiser for Down Syndrome Association. It's my golf buddy Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl event at Pin Chasers Midtown, Saturday, February 29th. For more information, go to theboneonline.com. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. You can follow me on Instagram at ToddWright2020, and on Facebook, I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. And if you want to see my television segment where I talked about the XFL with my golf buddy Dave Wirth, you can find it retweeted on my Twitter feed, @ToddWright, @Todd_Wright, via Spectrum Sports 360.